RV Family Travel Atlas is brought to you by Jayco. Since 1968, Jayco has been providing a way for generations of families to create lasting memories. For more information, visit your local Jayco dealer or head on over to jayco.com.
And by the Thetford Corporation. The industry expert and innovation leader, Thetford has made RV travel a more pleasant experience for over 50 years. To see a complete lineup of products, visit Thetford.com.
And by Cabela's. Cabela's has everything you need to get your family into the great outdoors. Visit Cabela's.com and make sure your next camping trip is one for the record books.
And by Camp Casual. Family-owned and operated since 2014, Camp Casual is committed to bringing retro-inspired dishware and vintage home goods to the camping and RVing community. Visit CampCasual.com to see what fun products you can add to liven up your campsite, your RV, and your home.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we write about RV and family travel with our three boys, Theo, Max, and Wes, and also Sweet Maggie the camping dog.
You can read about our adventures at RVFTA.com, and you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
On this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas, we are talking about something that may be right around the corner for some of our listeners with high school-aged kids, touring colleges during those junior and senior years. Planning an RV trip to visit potential schools is a great way to make this a fun and exciting family event.
So we invited Shelley Bailey Shaw from KidTripster.com onto the show to tell us all about her grand RV road trip to visit prospective colleges with her teenage son. Shelley will share the details of their adventure, but also give us tips and tricks for planning our own successful tours.
You might think that you have to put the RV in storage when college shopping season arrives for your family, but we know campgrounds are the perfect base camp for planning the next chapter of your teen's life. You are listening to episode number 207, Planning a College Tour RV Road Trip.
Before we head into this week's featured topic, planning a college tour RV road trip, it's time for another What's Cooking with RVFTA segment, and we're going to be talking all about Kate Dunbar's new cookbook, The Campground Gourmet, which is currently available for pre-order. But before we do, it's time for a sponsored message from our friends at Cabela's.
Cabela's has everything your family needs to get into the great outdoors and camp in comfort. And they also have a lot of really fun stuff happening throughout the holidays. Santa's Wonderland is at all Bass Pro and Cabela's stores from November 10th through December 24th. And we are going to be going to Santa's Wonderland down at the Delaware Cabela's store on December 16th.
I'm excited to visit that store because I get to pick up another t-shirt. I love the Cabela's t-shirts that have the individual store names
and
on
you've
them.
Never been to the Delaware store yet?
We haven't. We've driven by it. We haven't stopped.
We have. We've driven by it many times. All right. So listen, you can find out all you need to know about the schedule at your own local Bass Pro or Cabela's store at BassPro.com. You just have to click on Santa's Wonderland. That's right there on the homepage. And there's free photos with Santa. There's free crafts and activities. There's lots of stuff going on really all throughout the week, too, not just on the weekends.
I'm going to get my picture taken with Santa.
Are you? Oh, I look forward to that. All right. You can check out Cabela's full line of affordable gear at Cabela's.com. Cabela's, it's in your nature.
And come see us when we're there on December 16th. We would love to
say
hello.
Say hey.
Show you some of our favorite camping gear.
You can say hi to Sienna and to us.
You should also be saying hello to Kate Dunbar's new cookbook, The Campground Gourmet. Stephanie and Kate have been working hard on this for months. They've inspired me. And now the book is available for pre-order and at a special price. So if you pre-order it right now, it's $4.99. But that price is going to change soon. Stephanie, when is that price going to jump up?
Well, when it comes out. So right now we're in pre-sale pricing. So it's just a little bit of an incentive for you to get in there and save your copy. And that pre-sale pricing is going to be good through Thanksgiving when the book comes out. We are very grateful for all of you checking out this book. So we'll keep that pre-sale pricing on through November 22nd. And then after that, it goes up.
It may double in price.
Retail and, pricing.
By the way, it is the number one outdoor cooking cookbook
it's
right
number
now on Amazon.
One in two categories. And it's number three in a third
it's
category.
It's number three in the grilling category, yes. Which is huge. That's a huge category. Now, Stephanie, what's the other number one category?
It's there in camping and RVing. So it's number one in the camping and RVing book category.
Oh my
it's
gosh.
Number one in the outdoor cooking category, and it's number three in
There's
the grilling.
There's so much buzz in this cookbook. And yeah. like I said on a recent episode, like with Kate Dunbar, you know the recipes are going to be amazing. You know they're going to be approachable. But one thing that I really kind of fully learned about Kate Dunbar, she is a wickedly good food photographer. My goodness, the photography is gorgeous. We're going to be putting some of that photography up on our Instagram account right soon.
Yeah, so this book is packed full of recipes for every time of day, right? We've got breakfast and we've got sandwiches and burgers and main dishes and side dishes and kebabs and, you know, also some drinks. But today I wanted to talk about the desserts because Kate did a really fun thing and she put into the book quite a few mug cakes, which are really a great way to serve dessert at the campground.
What says fall camping more than a mug cake?
Well, the one that I picked was definitely for fall camping. And this is the apple cider mug cake. And I'm pulling things because I've been trying things, or I've been pulling something that I want to try that week.
Stephanie made something totally different. I won't even mention it now because we'll probably talk about it on a future episode. For dinner tonight, she made something out of the cookbook and it was awesome.
I made the cast iron beans tonight as a side dish. It took me I was literally editing the cookbook because I have 4 more days before the absolute final like I can't make any other changes in the manuscript. And
so the girl,
I just
the girl
am like,
tinkering.
Oh my gosh, it's just like you're going through it. Like you have to make sure there is not one single mistake on 107 pages of a cookbook.
Now we know Kate Dunbar put in some massive energy and effort into this book, but I have to say, I have been watching you up till midnight every single night for like a month.
I'm probably going to be blind by the end of this.
I'll be sitting there like reading my novel or something and I look over and Stephanie is like tinkering and pecking away at the Campground Gourmet.
Yes.
So you got to go buy a copy.
So it's been fun also for me to just randomly pull out like today I was just on the sides and I was about to make dinner. I was like, I have a can of beans in the cabinet. This is what I'm going to make. This sounds yummy. And it was yummy. So this is the apple cider mug cake. All right. And there's quite a few of these in the book. So it's fun. And you've got your flour, sugar, baking powder, kosher salt, milk, butter, apple pie filling.
Unsalted butter.
Oh, well, I'm not going to get super specific because the ingredients are on the blog. Apple pie spice and vanilla extract. All right. So you're going to make this. It's like you're making a mini cake, right? So you're going to do your melted butter and you're going to whisk together your dry ingredients and then you're going to whisk together your wet ingredients, right? You always do that dry ingredients, wet ingredients separately. Then you're going to put the milk mixture, the wet ingredients, into the middle of the flour mixture. And you're going to whisk it carefully. You don't want any lumps to remain and the batter should be nice and smooth. You're just going to use a whisk. You're not pulling out your big old cake mixer, right? For this. This is a campground mug cake.
That's
that you
very
can
appealing
do.
To me because I don't know how to use that mixer. I don't even know where you keep it.
And then once you have your batter made, you can divide it evenly between 2 mugs. So the recipes that Kate provides are for 2 mug cakes, but of course you could double it or triple it if you had more to make. And you're going to put them in microwave safe mugs and then microwave on high for 1.5 to 2 minutes. And voila, you have a cake.
Does the mug have to be really cute? Like the mug in Kate's
I know.
Picture?
She has a
what
fox
What an adorable
mug.
Fox mug.
Yeah. And I always love this picture, but she told us today on a Facebook Live that she did that this was her son's like favorite mug that she used
so
to
cute.
Take the picture. Yeah. And he was like, don't break my fox mug. So you make the cake right in there. And then she also gives you the recipe for the apple spice icing, which is a cream cheese base along with some powdered sugar, vanilla extract, apple pie spice, and butter. And you're going to make up that icing. I've got the entire recipe for you here for your apple cider mug cake on the blog at rvfta.com. We've been publishing complete recipes just as a little teaser to invite you to take a look at what the rest of the cookbook has to offer.
And that recipe, it's not in the show notes for the podcast. We're doing them separately as standalone blog posts. Stephanie, I have to say, a lot of cookbook authors don't do their own photography. They get separate photographers who specialize in food photography. And Kate really brings both talents completely to bear in this book, in this really lovely book. And I really encourage everyone to get it, download it, get it onto the Kindle, get it onto the iPod, and start enjoying making these recipes at home or at the campground.
All right. Now, another thing that you may or may not be enjoying is thinking about college, if college is right around the corner. And we know that college is right around the corner for a lot of our listeners' kids. We know that so many of you have kids that are in that maybe early high school years, you know, freshman, sophomore, junior, or you're just ramping up for next year and to be touring colleges next year. So we've been hearing so many people say either that they have used their RV trips as an opportunity to visit colleges, or that they're thinking about doing it. And we said, we really have to get Shelly on the show because Shelly Bailey Shaw from KidTripster.com, she did an enormous college tour with
7,000 miles.
Yeah.
30 days. Countless colleges. Now, I work in education and Stephanie has a background in education as well. And I think this is a great way to visit colleges because you can knock a lot of them out in one trip. A lot of my students are visiting like a college every weekend for the entire fall of their junior year. That doesn't sound fun to me, but you can turn this into an epic family trip that your kids and you will remember forever.
Or knock off one region, you know? Right. So for example, you might be going to different colleges on the weekends or whatever, but you might say, hey, let's do a road trip to the Northeast and visit all of those New England colleges this summer. Or let's do a road trip down to the South and visit some of your Southern, you know, college options. It's a way to at least take care of a region or a place that you might not be able to drive to on a weekend, right? Like, what about an area that's a little too far for that quick weekend trip?
And Shelly did this right. She also put in some fun stops in between national parks, visits with family and friends. Let's turn it over to Shelly Bailey Shaw from KidTripster.com. Let's hear about this epic college RV road trip. Stay tuned. Welcome back to the show, everybody. We are incredibly excited to have back on our show Shelly Bailey Shaw from KidTripster.com, and she's going to be talking about planning a college tour RV road trip, which for her was an epic month-long trip. And I'm so excited to hear this because I want to do this one day with the boys. But before we dive in and get all of the details, it's time for a sponsored message from our friends at Jayco.
The Ultralight Hummingbird is the newest addition to the Jayco lineup of travel trailers, and it is becoming one of the most popular additions to their lineup also, weighing in at about that 3,000-pound marker. And it's packed with features and modern conveniences. It's the definition of towable fun. Get up and go and leave your worries behind with the Hummingbird, which comes with the industry's best 2-year limited warranty. Visit your local Jayco dealer or jayco.com for more information. Jayco, generations of family fun. Welcome to the show, Shelly.
Thank you so much. It's great to be back.
Oh, it's so good to have you. And I have to say, Shelly, you are like prophetic. I'm telling you, you suggested this topic to me. It was a while ago. And I thought, oh, well, that sounds interesting. And in the time between when you suggested the topic and we're actually doing this episode, I cannot tell you how many people told me they wanted to go on a college tour in their RV in that time. We're hearing it from so many listeners. So you have your finger on the pulse of what's going on out there.
I think it's a rite of passage.
I'm excited to experience that,
Shelly,
rite of passage.
Shelly, let's be honest. Let's be honest. I think it's a great excuse to go on a 30-day RV trip.
Well, there's that too. I mean, and you know, how else am I going to convince my husband to pack up everything and head out for a month? This was probably the only way.
All right. Well, let's start all the way at the beginning. Tell us a little bit just about your family, your kids, what your age ranges are, and how this came about.
Yes. So we are a family of four. We live in Portland, Oregon, and at the time, had a 16-year-old and 13-year-old, both boys. And so my husband and I decided that we were going to put together this college road trip. My oldest son was really interested in several schools in the Midwest and on the East Coast. And when you live in Oregon, I mean, it's a hike, right? Like anytime you're going to go, it's going to be a hike. So we decided that we would just, you know, bite it off all in one big bite and kind of do this epic road trip. And so we went 2 years ago between his sophomore and junior year, which is kind of the timing that I recommend for people. I wouldn't wait until the summer of your junior year. I think that's kind of getting too close. That's pushing it.
Yeah, this is good timing, I thought. We're releasing this in the fall. And when we were scheduling this, I thought, you know what? This might be good for people who are thinking about what to do next summer. So if you have those teens, even if they're not quite sure which colleges they're looking at yet, you could say, hey, well, where could we go next summer? That could kind of give us a little bit of that preview, maybe, of some ideas.
Exactly. And, you know, my son, he had a very long and specific list, and so our itinerary was really set by him.
And did that make it a fun challenge for mom and dad with the planning, or was it kind of just difficult?
Well, it was definitely a challenge in that we covered a lot of ground. You know, when we were putting this episode together, I actually went back and like Googled our mileage. We did more than 7,000 miles in 30 days. And so it was good to have direction because he knew exactly where he wanted to visit. But putting together that kind of road trip takes a lot of pre-planning.
I want to know about the RV before we get into all the places that you went. So tell us about your rig.
So we actually knew that this trip was coming. So we upgraded about a year or two in advance. And we ended up in a 38-foot Newmar Ventana, which is a diesel pusher. But there is the secret feature of this RV, and my most favorite thing ever, is the washer and dryer. Once you have a washer and dryer in your RV, I'm telling you, you'll never go back.
And for a trip like this, where it wasn't a quick trip, it was a long trip, but many of the stops were quick, I imagine that having to do laundry could really, really be problematic if you did have to do laundry at a laundromat.
This made it so much easier because we didn't have a lot of extra time built into the schedule. And just as a side note, when you have a washer and dryer in your RV, it makes like packing up and unpacking so much easier because at the end of a trip, I just throw all the bedding, the sheets, the towels, the washcloths in the washer right there at our last campsite. And then I, you know, put it away. Nothing has to come in and out of the house. And that makes me really happy.
Now, Shelley, you're not the first person we've had on the show who had teenagers with a Class A, you know? And what other features besides the washer and dryer, which I'm totally jealous about now, what other features kind of attracted you to go in this direction as opposed to, say, a fifth wheel, which some people do for those longer trips, or a motor, you know, or a Class A?
Well, you know, for us, it's all about space. And my son is 6'2", so he's not going to be fitting in any of the bunks anymore. And so we really needed something that was going to accommodate the sleeping area for our really two tall boys. So the Ventana has a fold-out couch that folds out into a queen-size bed that they can share. It also has a dinette sleeping area, and then it has a room in the back for mom and dad. There's a bath and a half in this particular RV. So that's particularly important to mom because the boys use the half bath and I get the full bath in the back. I only let them in there for showers. That's it. And so, you know, the older they get, you know, the more space you need. And so this one really serves our family well. Plus, there's a lot of storage area in the basement of this particular RV. And when you're going on a trip like this, you invariably have a lot of gear with you. I will say there is one downside. We do not tow. And so there was a lot of consideration and planning that went into where we would park on these college campuses because, you know, a lot of them were in urban areas. So if we are staying in the outside of an urban area, like, say, Washington, D.C. or Boston, we also gave a lot of consideration to how we would be using, like, Uber or public transportation to get where we needed to go.
Did that work out okay for you? I ask selfishly because I want a motorhome, but I really actually don't want to tow a car behind it. That's how I'm feeling right now. So did that work for you, or were there moments where you felt like, man, we really wish we had our own car with us?
you know what? We have always made this work. We have never towed, and this is our second Class A. It takes a little extra pre-planning, but I can't think of a circumstance where we weren't able to get where we wanted to go, either by using Uber or public transportation to get there. So it works for us.
That's really helpful, I think, for people to hear, because I'm going to be completely honest, Shelley. I'm always the one that questions people, that I've heard so many people buy a motorhome saying, oh, and we just won't tow. And then a year into it, they're going, oh, we're going to get it towed, you know? So it's good to hear. And I think for a lot of our listeners out there, that that's not necessarily true. There are some people who are happy with that decision and who can make it work with the proper pre-planning. And maybe we'll talk about that more on another episode in the future, ways to use a motorhome without a tow vehicle behind you.
That's a great topic for a show.
It is.
Now, also, both of you have careers. You run kidtripster.com, and your husband also has a career. So how did you carve out the time in terms of those careers?
You know, my husband took his vacation time, but then he also worked from the road, and I worked from the road as well. It helps that both my husband and I, we share the driving responsibilities of the Ventana. So, you know, when we usually drive in like 3-hour shifts. So when I was driving, he could work and vice versa. So we made it work. And I should say my least favorite states to drive through on this trip were definitely Kansas and Nebraska during tornado season. I do not like driving through Kansas and Nebraska during the spring or in early summer.
Well, listen, that leads us into your itinerary for this epic trip. So I want to hear all of it. Where were all of the stops on this trip? And if you need to pause and breathe,
I know,
we'll fill in the empty space.
And I think that definitely don't be scared to, I think that people are probably interested to hear the colleges, right? That your son was interested in.
By the way, I'm imagining your Class A wrapped in college logos.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering if
like one big
that.
Tailgating party moving across the country.
You know, we should have gotten like a bumper sticker from each university. I wish I would have thought that. We should have like slapped him on the back, but we didn't do that. So yes, I have to say this is a somewhat extensive itinerary, but you'll get the idea. So we started, of course, in Portland, Oregon. And because we're from the West and we really have spent a lot of time out West exploring, we pretty much did a straight shot from Portland to St. Louis. Of course, we stopped overnight, but those were really long driving days. Those were 8 or 9 hour days where we were just pushing. And we would stop at an overnight campground on the side of a highway. The only deal breaker here is it had to have a pool for the kids. So, you know, some things never change. So we would, you know, we got to St. Louis, and there we were visiting Washington University at St. Louis. And we also went to the Arch, because when you're in St. Louis, that's what you do. And then from St. Louis, we went on to Nashville, which is the home of Vanderbilt. And then we had a couple of days worked in there for just plain fun. So we drove through to Pigeon Forge and Great Smoky Mountain National Park. From there, it was on to Duke in Durham, North Carolina, and then up to Hot Springs in Virginia. We actually got out of the RV for a couple of days and had a resort stay there. That was a separate assignment as part of my work, but it kind of came at a good time because we were kind of ready to get out of the RV for a couple of days. So that worked out just fine. But then we got back in and headed to Shenandoah National Park, then on to Washington, D.C. And we did the sights in Washington. It was actually my kids' first time to be in Washington, D.C. But that was one of the places where we parked the RV, solely relied on public transportation, and then actually took the train to Johns Hopkins, which is in Maryland, for that particular college visit. Then it was back in the RV and on to Foxborough, Massachusetts. This is one of those circumstances where we were visiting MIT and Tufts in Boston and Brown in Providence. So we sort of used Foxborough as a hub and then relied on public transportation to get us both to Providence and to Foxborough.
Shelley, your son must be a real underachiever here with, you know, Brown and Cornell and all of these places. This is a motivated kid you've
got
here.
He's got quite the list.
he He did have quite the list, for sure. So, you know, when they're motivated, you want to do what you can to let them see. And I have to say, at the end of this whole college journey, I actually have now been to 22 different universities, 10 on this trip, but 12 others. And I've gotten really good at being able to tell whether that's the place for him within about 5 or 10 minutes. So once you kind of go through a trip like this, you get really good at evaluating colleges. I'll tell you that.
So you're ready for the next one, right?
Oh, yeah. But of course, it'll be a whole different list of schools. I don't see them having a lot of overlapping interests. So it'll be an RV trip somewhere else, I'm sure.
Well, one thing that you mentioned, and I don't want to skirt over it because I think it might be something that's not talked about enough, but people do it, and I think it's a great idea. You talked about stopping at a resort and, you know, staying outside of the RV. And, of course, you did it for work. And, by the way, if you ever have any more of those spas that you need visited, you know, you just let me know, Shelley.
You're on my list.
Good,
Shelley,
good.
She's not kidding.
No, if you have a spa list, I want to be on
I
your spa list.
Notice how she said, let me know, let Jeremy and I know.
Right, right.
I heard Girls Weekend in there.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm your lady if you ever need a Girls Weekend place scoped out. So, yeah, I think that a lot of people do that, and it's probably not talked about enough in like maybe RV content, but it's a great thing to plan into a longer RV trip. So we have some listeners who travel in a pop-up and they do these long summer trips, but they kind of have these well-selected nights along the way where they check into a hotel, and hotels oftentimes have great RV parking. And you go in and you get that endless hot shower and you lounge around and watch TV. And it can really be kind of rejuvenating and fun to change it up on like a month long trip.
Absolutely. I mean, especially on a month long trip. And, you know, this particular resort, of course, you know, had golf and pool, and we did skeet shooting. And I mean, it was just a really good break for us. Not to, you know, be so confined. And, you know, it was well-deserved break, I think, at that point. But the road trip's not over. From Foxborough, outside of Boston, we then went up to Ithaca, New York, to visit Cornell, and then took a swipe through Rochester, New York, which is my husband's hometown, and the boys had never been to Rochester, New York, so that was kind of fun. And then we swung down to Pittsburgh and visited Carnegie Mellon, and then into Ohio to the Cuyahoga Valley National Park there. We then made a detour in Indiana because we had a RV repair to take care of.
I knew that that was going to happen. So I just totally was going to ask you about that, but there you go.
We had a problem when we were in Boston, and, you know, we were going to be in Indiana in 3 days. So, you took a swing down to southern Indiana and had this taken care of. And I have to tell you, it's funny because we were on a really tight schedule as far as getting from place to place. And so the window to get this repair done was really short. And I have never been down to Indiana where they build these RVs. And when we called up to have this electrical work done, we asked, like, oh, you know, can we do it really early in the morning? Like, how early can you do it? And the man, who was Amish, said, well, we can start at 4 a.m.
Yeah.
I go, you can? Like, he's like, oh, yeah, that's fine. Like, I had no idea that they
farm were time.
They stop early because of the heat.
Farm time. Yeah. They're done by, what, 2 p.m. a lot of the time.
And a lot of the buildings don't have air conditioning, correct, Stephanie? So, the shifts end early in the day.
Well, it worked perfectly for us because we got to the parking lot at like 10 o'clock at night. We slept, and then they started working on the RV at 4 a.m. like while we were still sleeping. So by the time we woke up like an hour and a half later, the work was done and we were on our way.
It's like a dream come true.
Wow. If you're going to have RV work done, that's the way to do it.
Yeah, do it while you're sleeping. So after the repair was successfully done, we went up to Pokagon State Park, which is in Indiana, and then on to Evanston, Illinois, to visit Northwestern University, which happens to be both my and my husband's alma mater. And I have to say that this is where we probably had our most unusual place that we camped. It is like near impossible to find an RV park in the greater Chicagoland area, at least close to Northwestern where we wanted to be. So I ended up calling the facilities manager at the stadium and I said, you know, look, we're alumni. We've got 3 degrees from Northwestern between us. Can we park our rig in the parking lot? And much to my surprise, they said, sure. And so alumni status has its privileges, and we parked right there at Northwestern's stadium, and it was, you know, a trip down memory lane, brought the kids, you know, over to the hot dog stand where we used to get, you know, dogs before the games, last mustard stand, I think it's called, and it was just, you know, a great trip down memory lane.
Aww, this is cute. I didn't know we were going to get this super cute ending here. Now, I've got just a couple questions here, because as you're going through this list, like, some of the places are jumping out to me as having great campground options. I mean, I know as a fact, in Nashville, you have really great options. Outside of DC, you have really great options. So I'm guessing that maybe you stayed at a lot of KOAs, because they have a lot of locations sort of right off the road and in some of these destinations. But where did you stay in some of the more unusual places? You just told us one, but what about like Hot Springs, Virginia? I mean, when
that was where they stayed at. That's where you got out of the RV, right?
Yes, that's where we were. We were at the Homestead, which is a resort there in Hot Springs. But it was really, you know, we did stay at a lot of KOAs on the way out. So you're correct on sort of those pull off the highways, stay overnight. When we were in Foxborough, we stayed at Normandy Farms, which is, I know, a campground that's been on Campground of the Week for good reason. That place is like off the charts.
Yeah, it's great, right? One of the best.
Yeah. And then we also stayed at a state park in Ithaca, which was really unusual. It was Treeman State Park. And what made that park unusual is it had sort of a swimming hole, like where a waterfall fed the swimming hole, and it had a diving board at the swimming hole. So it was like just kind of a really odd spot where you're in this natural area, you're in the state park, but it has this diving platform where, you know, the kids just were, you know, going crazy, like doing flips off the diving board next to the waterfall. So that was one of our more unusual stops as well.
Now, you guys made a point to also visit with some friends and family along the way. Why was that important to you?
We had to keep our sanity, that's for sure. no, we did. We worked it into the itinerary that a lot of our friends and family actually drove to see us on our route. So, for example, Grandma lives in Michigan, and we just didn't have the time to take a detour up to Michigan, so she met us in Indiana. We had friends from Lexington, you know, meet us in Pigeon Forge. We had more friends in Washington and Boston. So, you know, interacting with other people was good for us, so it wasn't just the four of us all the time, which also brings up another important point. You know, we had a younger son who was along on this trip. And of course, these 10 university visits had about zero interest, of zero interest to him. So it was important for us to build in plenty of fun days, just, you know, to do more vacation oriented things. So that's why we spent, you know, a couple days in Pigeon Forge and, you know, went to Dollywood and did the Great Smoky Mountains, and why we went to Washington, D.C. and saw the sights there, and why we worked in these national park visits. Not to mention that I know you know that we're on a quest to visit all the national parks in the country. So we picked up 4 on this trip. So we are currently at 44 total.
That's strong, a good number.
Strong number,
that
Shelly.
Is a big number, Shelly. You should definitely all be patting yourself on the back for that. I love the way that
you started out with, you know, a college tour RV trip. You were like, okay, this is the game plan. We want to do this. This is a great way to do it. But you made it into a lot more than that. And I think that is important for that burnout factor, right? Like you did some, you did the sightseeing, you did the fun stops, you did the friends and family. And I think that combination probably made it, you know, just something really special that your boys will always remember.
Absolutely. And not to mention, I mean, you're making a pretty big investment here, right? I mean, your gas alone to drive 7,000 miles, this is a big investment. So we wanted to try to, you know, squeeze every bit of enjoyment out of it that we possibly could. And so by working in some of those, you know, fun activities and making sure that we got to see family and friends along the way, just added to the overall trip.
Did we keep the younger guy happy on this trip?
He was mostly happy.
Are they ever always happy, Shelly? Tell me, because mine aren't. Okay, no. But Shelly, this was so much fun to hear all about your story with this. But we know that you're like us. You're always learning lessons and like thinking about the big picture after these kinds of experiences. So we're going to be back in a minute and you're kind of going to give us the big picture and you're going to break down your best tips if someone of our listeners wants to do the same thing. All right, you ready?
Absolutely.
All right, stay tuned.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. We are here again with Shelly Bailey Shaw from KidTripster.com, and we're talking about planning a college tour RV road trip. We just went over Shelly's itinerary for a massive 7,000-mile, 30-day road trip. Now she's going to give us some tips so that you can plan your own trip just like this. But before we do that, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Thetford.
Thetford is the industry expert and innovation leader, and they have been making RV travel a more pleasant experience for over 50 years. Now, this is the time of year where a lot, not everybody, but a lot of people are kind of putting the babies to bed for the winter and, you know, getting their RV all stored nicely. And we just did a great podcast with Mark Polk on all the things that you need for, you know, winterizing and storing your RV. But the most important thing that he stressed was tanks, 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 and really making sure that you clean everything out when you're, you know, winterizing your RV. And we did another podcast with Thetford over the summer with Paula from Thetford, and she gave you all of the information you need for that. I just really want to, at this time of the year, encourage everybody to go back and to listen to Paula work her way through how you need to clean and care for your RV.
In terms of a podcast all on black tanks, that one was a masterpiece.
Who knew it could happen, but we managed.
There's no better riveting single podcast out there on that topic.
All right, so make sure you go back and check it out if you didn't listen to it, and go to Thetford.com for more information or follow the links in the show notes. Welcome back, Shelly.
Thank you.
Now, Shelly, I love trip planning. I find it really exciting and it gets me through some boredom in the winter months. But this one kind of intimidates me, like planning this kind of trip. So let's get started. What kind of tips would you give our listeners who might plan a massive, epic college trip like this?
Well, and even if you don't plan a massive trip, and it's a shorter version of this, you still need to follow these steps. So you need to start out planning 6 to 9 months in advance. And I strongly suggest that you keep sort of a written day-by-day master plan as you go along, because there are a lot of details, a lot of moving parts that you're going to need to keep track of. So you're going to start with that list of schools that you want to visit, and you need to research when each school offers visits for prospective students. These visits are normally in two parts. You have an orientation session, which runs usually about an hour, and then you have a campus tour, which is anywhere from an hour to an hour and a half. And you want to go online and note the times when those things are typically offered, because you likely won't be able to sign up and reserve your spot until 3 months in advance. But you need to be planning your trip 6 to 9 months in advance. You see where I'm going with this?
Where you're going with this is that this needs to be like Disney level planning.
It does need to be like Disney level planning. So you have to kind of proceed as if you're going to get your first choice in times. You normally will. But then make a note to yourself, like on your master calendar, to go back and sign up when the registration for those schools opens. Don't forget to do that.
That's a key point there.
Yeah, that's such a good tip.
The whole thing could get botched if you don't do that.
Well, I think that really just from square one, you're helping us, because a lot of people would go and plan their dream trip and then go, oh no, there's not a tour when I schedule to be here or there. Like you're really helping us understand that we almost need to work backwards and figure when those are offered first and then set your itinerary up.
Right. And then the next step is really, you want to call the admissions office of each and every school and ask them about parking. Again, we have a pretty big rig. We don't tow. So it was really important to know, where are we going to be able to park? And sometimes they directed us to the public safety office and they had some answers. At the very least, you're likely to always be able to park at a stadium. And so, you know, that's a good fallback. But remember, too, to download a printed campus map, because some of those campuses can be kind of tricky. And so you're going to want to have something printed to look at when you hit campus.
And printing is so important, because we're so used to everything being on our phones or our, you know, iPads. And then when you get into the situation and you can't pull it up or you can't, you know, right. It's like you don't have the Wi-Fi. Well, if you have that, like I always make a manila folder when we're doing something that's more like that, and just put those printouts in that manila folder.
It uses my mind too, to know that I have those hard copies there. I just feel more relaxed and secure when it's not all off in the cloud somewhere.
Right. And you know, these campuses, when you pull up the campus maps on your phone, they're too darn small to be able to see where the parking lot is or where the road is that leads to that parking lot. So I really suggest downloading those maps. And then you're going to want to plot your initial itinerary with all those university stops, right? But it can be a little bit tricky, because some schools don't offer tours on Saturdays or Sundays. So you may need to take that into account when you're planning out your days. So, you know, if you're somewhere on a Friday, but the next school doesn't offer a tour until Monday, then you're going to need to build in some time into your itinerary so that you hit those tours on the right days.
Thank God Dollywood is open, in other words.
Exactly. That's exactly why we ended up in Pigeon Forge. And we had a great time, so that was all good. And then you're going to want to look to see what other potential stops there are in between the universities, right? So between Vanderbilt and Duke, we've got Pigeon Forge and the Great Smoky Mountains. And so that those are the times to kind of work in those fun things to help with the overall happiness of everybody on the trip. And then, you know, we had 30 nights of camping. That's 30 reservations. And you want to consider all your options. We stayed at some full service campgrounds. We stayed at state and national campgrounds. You can even, you know, overnight in a Walmart or a Camping World parking lot. But if you're going to do something like that, do make sure you call ahead, because not all of them will accept campers. But it's a good way to maybe cut costs along the way.
Yeah, Shelley, you know, I know this is very different from family to family, but did you feel like every day you had something planned, or did you have any well-timed just down days that were hang out around the pool, totally chill out?
You know, we did have a couple of those along the way, but because we were covering so much territory geographically, we kind of were like from one spot to the next. I tried to make sure that we, you know, get to a campground, let's say in the afternoon, and they'd have some pool time, and then maybe we'd go into, you know, Cheyenne, Wyoming for dinner or wherever we were. But there, this particular trip, there wasn't a tremendous amount of downtime.
Were you exhausted by the end of the trip?
We were exhausted by the end of the trip. I mean, mostly because, you know, once we left Chicago, again, it was just a straight push home to Portland. And, you know, those big driving days of, you know, 8-9 hours. But it's what you do.
Now, did you also have to really study up on public transportation for some of the campgrounds, like maybe a Normandy Farms outside of Boston or wherever you stayed right outside of Washington, D.C.?
Yes, we totally did. So for Normandy Farms, it's, you know, you can pick up a train in Foxborough, but it's a question of, well, how am I going to get from Normandy Farms to Foxborough? So, but they did have Uber there. And, you know, we checked in with a campground just to see like, okay, what is the distance? And, you know, what's the trains like? The campgrounds are really helpful. They're used to getting these kinds of questions. So a lot of people who stay at Normandy Farms do take a day or two into Boston. Same goes with Cherry Hill in Washington, D.C., where we stayed. I mean, that is how people do it. They park their RV and then they use the buses and the trains to get into all the sites. So,
and in Cherry Hill, the buses come right into the campground.
Yeah, it couldn't be more convenient.
The campgrounds are such a great place to start. You know, like if you're looking to research that, call the campground first because, you know, there's no reason to sit there and go all over the internet when the person, you know, at the other end of the phone there might have the answer, you know, lickety split for you.
Exactly. So again, because we don't tow, this was an important part of our planning process and, you know, we just made it work.
Well, Shelley, do you want to tell us kind of about the aftermath of all this college tour?
I want to know what you would do differently next time, if anything.
You know, I don't know that I actually would do anything differently. And I, you know, this was a long list of universities and the one thing that I can tell you is that a school that might look like the right place for your kid on paper, you don't know that until you actually set foot on the campus, because every campus has kind of a different feel, a different vibe. And we really did get good at figuring out, would this be a place for our son to spend the next 4 years? So I strongly suggest visiting in person these campuses because it really can make a total difference in the college search process. There are schools that I mentioned on this list that once we visited them, they were off the list. They like, I, you know, I don't mean to blackball schools here, but they were.
It's a lot of personal preference there. Yeah. So you're not saying they weren't good schools; they just weren't for your son.
Yeah, they just weren't good fits for him. And so it helped us narrow down the list itself, but it also helped him sort of zero in on what was important to him and what kind of campus environment he ultimately wanted to have.
And RV parking is a must, right? I mean, if you were going to let him go somewhere and help him pay for it, there needed to be parking.
It better be a good place to visit in your new
bar. That goes without saying.
All right. So the big exciting thing we have to ask you here is which of these wonderful institutions did your son choose?
Oh my gosh. So there were 10 on this trip, but as I mentioned, we visited 22 schools in all. And he actually ended up at a school that was not on this trip. He is a freshman at the University of San Diego in the Honors College. He got a healthy scholarship there, and he is rowing on the crew team, and he is very happy. He found his perfect home.
Was there any realization at all, like, well, I don't want to be in the Midwest, or I don't want to be in the Northeast, or was it not that kind of a
decision? San Diego, come on.
Yeah, I mean, San Diego is pretty good. I'm a UCI grad, by the way, Shelley. I don't know if you knew that.
Oh, I didn't.
Yes, yeah, so University of California, Irvine. I'm a proud anteater.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, he's a torero. I had to Google that to see that what that was even. It's a bullfighter. So
thank you for helping me out there because I was lost.
Not as tough as an anteater.
All right. You guys can debate that offline. Well, Shelley, well, congratulations to all of you for finding a good fit for him for this year. And we really do wish him the best of luck at college. And I'm a bit jealous that he's doing that in San Diego. I made the unfortunate decision to go to school in Michigan where I was just cold for 4 years.
And then graduate school in Pennsylvania where you were cold for another 4 years.
I'm a Michigander, so I understand your pain.
Oh, it was rough there. So, well.
Shelley, tell us where everyone can find more about you and about kidtripster.com.
And fun spas to go to with your kids.
And fun spas.
Yeah. Absolutely. So we're at kidtripster.com. And on social, we're on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Pinterest, Instagram, all at Kid Tripster. And I do want to make like a little special shout out to our Pinterest account. We just spent hundreds of hours revamping all our boards. And we have boards that are specific to the outdoors and national parks and RV adventures. And so I think your listeners would find them really helpful.
I think our listeners also should know that Kid Tripster just won a really big prize. So you better tell us about that.
Oh, thank you. We won the Lowell Thomas Award, which is presented by the Society of American Travel Writers for the best travel journalism website, the Silver Award. We lost out to the BBC travel website, which I think is probably pretty good company to lose out to. But second place, we'll take it.
I would love to get second place to the BBC in anything.
Anytime.
I don't
Anytime.
Care what the category
Who cares?
Is. Give me second place to the BBC. That is a victory.
Oh, well, Shelley, thank you so much for coming on to the show. It's always a pleasure to have you. You're so full of great information. And to me, you're just such a like a seasoned, wise traveler. So I love hearing all your tips.
And I know already that in 6 or 7 years, 6 years, I'll go back and I'll listen to this podcast.
Yeah, I don't like to think about the facts. I realize like we will have a child in college for 8 years straight. So I'm okay with that not coming tomorrow. You know, we can wait on that for a little while.
Yeah. When it comes time, you give me a call and I'll give you a personal refresher.
Okay.
Thank All you right, so much. Shelley. That was Shelley Bailey-Shaw from kidtripster.com. And we'll be back in a second to wrap up the show. Welcome back to the show, everybody, and a huge thank you to Shelley Bailey-Shaw from KidTripster.com. What an epic road trip that was. And you want to make sure you head on over to KidTripster.com and check out this wonderful website she's put together there, which has all kinds of travel information and inspiration, whether it's by RV or resort or whatever way you want to take a vacation. Now it is time for the RV FTA News Roundup, which is sponsored by our dear special friends at Camp Casual.
I'm not sure if there's any better place to go Christmas shopping for your loved ones than at campcasual.com. And I say that not reading the ad script, but just honestly saying from my heart that it's like a gift is oftentimes one of those things. It should be one of those things that you maybe wouldn't buy yourself, right? Like it's a little bit special. It's a little unique. It's a little bit out of like the total practical realm. And I just think that Camp Casual does that. It takes something that's super like cozy or practical, like a mug or a blanket or nesting bowls, and it makes it fun and special and sweet.
Warm,
yeah,
soft, fuzzy blankets,
yeah,
with vintage RVs on them.
That might be my number one pick for somebody buying a gift for somebody. Those blankets are just phenomenal.
A blanket and a mug would make a terrific Christmas gift for the RV camping lover in your life.
Yeah, absolutely. We did Camp Casual mugs for everybody's Christmas gifts last year. You know how you get those Christmas gifts that you give to maybe people that you have as customers and clients.
Our extended RV FTA network,
all of our correspondents got a Camp Casual mug. It's just the perfect gift in my mind. So you want to go over to campcasual.com right now because using code RVFTA25, you can get 25% off the entire site. So there's the 12-piece dining set, you know, with the plates and the bowls and the smaller plates. There's the nesting bowls.
I use the nesting bowls on every single camping trip.
Oh, the salad bowl with servers. I use that all the time. That lives in our RV. We don't even have one of those in the house. Most things with Camp Casual, we have double.
That's true.
But that one lives in the RV and I use it all the time.
I have a set of nesting bowls in the RV and a set of nesting bowls in the house. Yeah. I use them for breakfast whenever I make breakfast.
Yeah. If you're kind of like one of those people that's like, I don't know what to get so-and-so. They have everything. Well, you don't have an excuse. You should go to campcasual.com. Get them something. It's easy.
All right, Stephanie, time for the RVFTA News Roundup. Our blog has been hopping with some free sample recipes from Kate Dunbar's new ebook, The Campground Gourmet. So what are the recipes that you can go and get for free over on our blog right now?
Yeah, we started off with her bacon dippers, the pancakes. We also did a sweet potato side dish, a skillet side dish that so many people have used, tried out already since we did that last week. And they keep saying that they're actually going to serve it at Thanksgiving, and I'm serving it at Thanksgiving because we're not big mashed sweet potato people, and we're not really big like sweet potato, like that marshmallowy kind of casserole. That's never
those.
Well, no, that doesn't go over well in our family. It's never really
it doesn't go over well with you.
Nah, nobody eats it. It sits there at the table.
You don't make it. How could anybody eat?
I think your mom brought it one year.
How could anybody eat something you're not making?
Your mom got it one year and brought it. And it sat there at the table, and then eventually
I don't think this is historically accurate.
It is. So anyway, this year we are not having that. We were having this sweet potato skillet. So I'm really excited to try a new sweet potato recipe.
Now, I have to say, Stephanie, we have camped, I think, the last three Thanksgivings, last three Thanksgivings. And we had a great time. We loved it. We encourage people to go have a non-traditional holiday, particularly if friends and family aren't close. But we both kind of looked at each other and said, you know what? We want to make a big turkey and a big Thanksgiving dinner and have it at home.
Yeah, now, there's a lot going on around here. And we actually have been camping quite a bit this fall, and we've been really busy. So it was kind of like sometimes by the time Thanksgiving rolls around, it's been like a month since we've camped.
And
this year it hasn't been like this. The fall has been sort of like continuously busy. So we are going to like take a deep breath and stay at home.
There was another reason too for me. I have a 3-day weekend in December, like I guess 2 weeks after Thanksgiving. And I thought, well, why don't we make that a camping trip? We go down to DC because the campgrounds stay open later. And, you know, the camping trips to DC for Thanksgiving have been awesome. I have really loved them. We've had great memories. But it is really hard getting to the campground Wednesday night with all of the traffic. So that's been a stress point for us in terms of camping over Thanksgiving weekend.
Yeah, it's always tough. I've always found Thanksgiving. Well, we used to travel for Thanksgiving and, you know, not camping, just traveling to family. And it was the same thing. It was always you're so exhausted because you're working all day on Wednesday. You're packing everybody up. You're getting everybody in the car. You're going somewhere. Thanksgiving is just a tough one, I think, for everybody to feel relaxed. And that's why actually camping kind of worked nicely. I had a tweak it a little bit. And you can find what I ended up doing last year on the blog. I did a whole Thanksgiving at the campground menu that I was really happy with. And it was lovely because we had gone out one year and I was like, that's not for me. And then another year I tried to replicate like the whole traditional meal. And that was like a little bit tricky too. It was fine. But I was like, oh, let me see. The third year last year, and I did all the recipes on the blog for it. I made like all the traditional dishes, but in a version that was campground friendly. So I did hot turkey sandwiches with stuffing and cranberry sauce.
That was
sauce
great because that really was the taste of Thanksgiving
in a
much simpler format.
Yeah, and I was able to do things ahead of time in advance and then just very easily put it together on Thanksgiving. And it kind of felt like a Thanksgiving feast.
Can we link to that in the show notes for our people that
are camping
this Thanksgiving?
Yeah, and I also linked to it last week in the sweet potato skillet. Blog post too, just to remind people that it's there if you're looking for some different ideas for Thanksgiving at the campground.
If you are camping over Thanksgiving, drop us an email. I would just love to hear what traditions you've formed or where you actually go that is open for an RV trip over Thanksgiving. It's been a big part of our lives in recent years.
There's also been stuff. It's been so much fun to see all of you doing some of this food stuff too. Somebody posted about their pie iron Reubens that they made off of our pie iron favorite recipes. They did those Reubens at the campground.
I wanted one.
I'm telling you, in the picture, it looked like they used my Pepperidge Farm pumpernickel rye swirl bread.
Exactly.
And I was like, that's the perfect one to use. And it looked like it was there in the picture. So that's been super fun to see everybody out there just sort of trying new things and having fun and sharing, you know, breaking bread together at the campground. That's always great.
In other news, we have another big roundup in the newest issue of Trailer Life magazine, which you should just be getting in the mail. Stephanie, I think it's the November issue or if it's the December
issue.
Might
be the December at this point, right?
I think it's the December. It is the current issue. It's a roundup of fiberglass campers. So we did a broad survey of almost all of the companies that make fiberglass campers, and we picked like a favorite floor plan for each. And there's like a nice intro kind of explaining the whole vibe for fiberglass campers and the whole culture of fiberglass campers, because it is a very different culture, isn't it?
Yeah, it almost, doing this article almost killed us because
I didn't know you wanted to go into that.
Well, I'm going
to
say this. For when we do our regular roundups and we choose RVs that we want to feature, we reach out to the company and we say, we would like to feature blah, blah, blah. We need this information. And the marketing director is want to email us back and give us that information and say, oh, yeah, well, here it is. Thanks so much for featuring. Well, the marketing directors in fiberglass world are few and far between.
That's because there aren't any. Like when you call a fiber, we both spent hours making these phone calls. When you call a fiberglass company to get information from somebody, typically like the son answers and he's like, well, my dad's not here
right
now.
He's not here. I can give him a message if you want.
It's like a father and a son running the company.
Oh my gosh.
Or it's like a mom and her sons running the company. These are companies where it's like the CEO, the marketing director, and the builders.
And they're out there building
They're building
them. They're like,
them.
I don't have time to talk to this reporter who's calling. I'm busy making trailers.
I mean, they're literally like, they will have to stop making a trailer to talk to you. And we're saying this in like, because we kind of love it. It's like a little bit of the Wild West of RVs. Yeah. And these manufacturers for fiberglass, they're all over the country, where most RV makers are in the Elkhart, Indiana area, the fiberglass manufacturers are all over the place.
Well, it was just so funny because you go into a fiberglass article knowing that you're talking about something that is outside of the mainstream in terms of the RV industry, and then you get a better taste for what that actually means when it comes to writing an article. And the next time somebody asks me to write an article on fiberglass, I'll say, thank you, but I'm good.
I'm good on that special kind of torture.
Well,
I walked away from it really understanding why people are like cult-like passionate about their fiberglass RVs. Fiberglass RVs are really cool. I wouldn't mind owning one of these days.
Read the article, but just appreciate the blood, sweat, and tears. Yeah,
it was the hardest article we have ever
read.
I mean, there were some companies we had to call like 12
Like they could,
times.
They probably like were blocking our number by the end. Like, oh my gosh, these people will not stop.
And also like you'd ask for pictures and
some
they'd
of be
them
like,
would like,
oh,
send,
we'll
like,
get them to you right they, away.
They,
and then
they
crickets.
Would like, well, or they would just send their like cell phone photos.
Yeah,
they
like, you know, they ran out and like snapped a photo.
But the article looks beautiful.
Yeah.
You wouldn't know that it almost destroyed our souls.
Yeah, no, we pulled it out in the end, but holy moly, that was a fun time. Fun.
It was a lot of fun.
A lot of fun. All right, everybody. We hope you have a lot of fun planning your college tour RV road trip. Let us know what your plans are, as always, over at RVFTA Facebook group. It's a private group. Lots of friendly people love to share and hear about plans. And we will see you at the campground.
We'll see you at the campground.